Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK. Started from the bottom, now we're here.
That's right. We are here. We're ready to go on this Tuesday, July 20th, following A's baseball. He's Doug Christie. I'm Jason Ross. Hi.
He's Christopher Lott.
He is.
He's Jay Johnson.
They are.
We are. That's why you tune in.
That's why you said that.
That's why they listen.
Good point.
Thank you.
And we appreciate all of you that do on a daily basis. We love the feedback. We love hearing from you. And also, hi. See everybody. Like Doug and I today, we didn't call, but we kind of.
Yeah, yeah. We got the island vibe today.
Yeah.
I see you. Well, did you pay?
No.
You didn't pay? Wow. Okay.
What do you mean? For the shirt?
No.
For lunch?
For lunch.
No.
Of course.
No.
When you're dressed like that, you went to lunch. You knew exactly
what I was doing. And I haven't had to go to a lunch in a long time. Like, I mean, that's. I don't know the last time I've done that.
You didn't pay? Somebody bring out the black card?
It wasn't a. I don't. Well, I shouldn't say. I don't know what the bill was. I don't think it was crazy.
Oh, okay.
But it was very, very nice.
So you could have paid?
I could have and started to offer, but it was
did
already
you?
It was,
oh,
it was
you're
gone.
That guy?
Well,
you're,
no, I was like the bill really came in quickly.
And the bill came and you kind of reached?
It was already gone, and then he was kind of like, nope.
Ah.
And I won't say who it was, but faithful listener. So, hello. Thank you for lunch. Big fan of the show, too.
Hold on. What, you went to lunch with a listener and they paid?
I wouldn't say they're.
Come on,
no, they're,
man.
Did you have a food tester? Or
come on, Chris.
I wouldn't say this is a local dignitary, not a, but that happens to listen to the show.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I would have paid for lunch for you. I'm
Captain
just saying.
Marvel, Brie Larson took you to lunch?
Chris, I don't like all this information getting out, but I can't say you're wrong.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think Sacramento gets enough love that Captain Marvel is from here.
That's true. That's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not enough love.
Yeah,
that's you good, though,
that's
DC?
A,
we could go to the islands, right? I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I'm on. Yeah, I mean, I'm good. Just so you know, like towards the end of lunch, you get up, you go to the bathroom, and you say, hey, to the waitress, you go and you slide in the car.
Yeah,
say,
I've done that before.
Oh, you have?
Uh-huh.
Okay, just not today.
Not today.
Yeah, you were. you ordered the steak and shrimp.
No.
I don't have that type of income to pull off that move.
You don't?
I have the income of where I pat my pockets to act like I'm looking for my wallet.
That's what he did.
Then I look. Then I'm looking at them to see if they're making a move.
That's what if everybody's patting their pockets? At the same, oh, we all have the same move.
So you got to pat the pocket.
You,
you got to reach for the pocket.
I was reaching.
You were reaching.
Yeah.
Okay. So who grabbed the check first?
Honestly, literally, I don't even know if I was looking to the
left. Oh, that's what you did. That, so
not
that's
planned.
That's what you do is you look away when the check is coming. Like, hey, and then you kind of get a glance back like you're looking for the screen. Okay.
It was like a quick pass in the key. The check was in, card was placed, check was. I'm like, whoa, whoa. Then it was.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah.
But whoever that was.
Did you offer a Venmo Kudos. Or anything?
No,
nothing.
Not at that point.
Okay.
We'll offer to.
Nothing.
Come on. We'll,
come on.
We'll take care of it. Take care of it.
Like, he didn't even take care of parking. Nothing.
It's how much street. It's how much you protest having to pay, having not to pay.
Well, then I said, okay, actually, I'd like it to go.
Wow. Man, I'm not going to lunch with you. Chris, you can go to lunch with me anytime.
I'm not paying.
Doug knows that going in.
I'm going to lunch by myself.
There you go. well, we have got a shorter show, only 90 minutes today because of A's baseball. Hopefully you enjoyed the game that just wrapped up. There's lots to talk about with the A's on the field. Oh, by the way, yeah, you finally saw. I meant to tell you this earlier.
Oh, man.
That Deer District is, I mean, come on, Doug. We've seen some big crowds. It's insane. They even did a wider shot earlier of how far back, forget it.
Kings
there are
fans.
So many people.
See,
there.
And the Kings fans, just know when our time comes, say it with me, everyone. You out there? NBA world champion, Sacramento Kings. And when it happens, we're going to turn up in DoCo.
Yep.
Oh.
And outside and
oh,
further down.
All around.
K Street.
Fifth
Street.
Oh, the whole deal. We're going to shut it down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Good for you, Milwaukee.
Yeah, 90 minutes from
tip-off. Great for you, Phoenix.
They moved the Milwaukee Brewers game earlier today because, hey, the Brewers are creative. Like, hey, we want to watch the game too.
I feel that.
You know,
so
you support your – I mean, they're the only team.
Rivercats, day off.
Or just early game and come over and support the Kings.
Absolutely.
Republic, whoever it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have screens up everywhere.
Everybody
so
in.
So everybody can see it.
Got to be all in.
Side of the Capitol.
Yes.
In the new rail yard on the stadium. Matter of fact, we'll show the game in the stadium.
Yeah.
There you go. Make some money.
If this ever happens like this, where there is a game
if,
at home.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
When it happens,
oh, there you
a game
go.
At
you.
Home.
Okay.
To be champions.
Close
now,
it out.
They still could be the champs in game 7.
I got you.
But this is the one time
yep.
in their city
yep.
they can do this in front of, oh my gosh.
Good night, man. Look at all
is
those people.
All of Wisconsin there.
Yeah.
And how special would it be? Sacramento Kings, NBA champions.
Stop
finals.
With the wood. Just can
I didn't
you,
say wood.
You said how
special would it be?
Special
would it
will
be?
It be? Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Sacramento Kings, NBA champions.
Yes.
NBA Finals MVP.
Yes.
Damian Lillard.
Ooh. Foreshadowing.
Oh, that's way out
too
of line.
Too far, Chris.
You just went too far. We're going to get there. Come on, Chris. Cut it out, man. We got what we got. Okay? Can you quit looking in your neighbor's freaking window, Chris? Huh?
They get some nice stuff.
Yeah, they do. Okay? But that's your neighbor's house. Let your neighbor do. This is.
Do not covet thy neighbor.
I work really hard for the things that we have in our house. Okay? Can you guys appreciate what we have in our house?
We need to remodel.
Okay?
It's not all looking bright and shiny in my neighbor's house. Looking like some infighting.
Looking like some of that stuff can be over in our house now.
Maybe I could lend a shoulder to.
Oh, man. This is therapeutic.
Yes.
Not at all.
Again, Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. All right, let's do it. It is time.
Shall we?
For First Things First.
First Things First.
Close things close.
By the way, before we jump into First Things First, we're going to continue today in our short time of our NBA draft player profiles. Yesterday, we got it started on potential people that could be there at 9 for the Sacramento Kings, and we looked at Josh Giddey.
Yes,
today
I was
we go,
so giddy.
What are you going to do with today with Franz Wagner?
Franz Wagner. Yeah.
We'll do that at 5:30.
I'm going to get my Wagner on.
Okay.
My Wagner.
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 All right. First things first, DC. Let's start with baseball that actually happened on the diamond just moments ago. A little two-game set, and the A's did what they were supposed to do. The Angels came in last night with Shohei Ohtani. He got the over for you and Jay, by the way, with 8 strikeouts. A's get him out of the game, which
No.
He was taken out of the game.
There you go.
The Angels took him out of the game.
Yeah, they just that.
And then the A's went to work, got that win. Today they bounced back with a shutout, mini two-game sweep, exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want to do, making sure that you are taking care of your business with 3.5, I believe it is, behind the Houston Astros, if I'm not mistaken. That is enough ground that the A's can cover in a four-game series. Somebody slides a little bit. I have a feeling.
Now it's 3, by the way.
It's 3, by the way. Okay, Astros, they've played really, really good baseball, and there has to be a time here where they slip up a little bit.
Sure.
Injuries are known to happen, not wishing that on anybody, but someone loses a start, you know, soreness of the elbow. A's, handle your business. They did that in this two-game set. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, today's final, you just heard it right here with a home run by Matt Olson. He continues to just... He's awesome. He's having a great season. And James Kaperlian got the win. He's 5-3. ERA down to 2.65. A's get a shutout, 6-0 over the Angels. And we were talking going into the break about your Mariners, about the Angels. Like, hey, these guys really aren't out. Mariners have stayed above 500. Angels now 2 below. And, again, talent, but they're getting too far behind. I think, unless just an amazing finish.
Do you bring Trout back? Because I saw some video of him kind of doing his thing. He looked like he was ready to.
He won't say no. Like he'll be ready to go.
Yeah. What is their deal, man? Just in the shadow. You're in the shadow of it was Chavez Ravine.
I don't know. Good manager. I like a lot of their offensive. It's pitching. I think.
Yeah.
Consistently
yeah.
there.
That's unfortunately. Yeah. Unfortunate because you got two of the best in the business right now, and no one gets to see them play. We have to watch the Yankees. Go figure. Huh?
Have to?
Get to? No.
Privileged.
No, they force it on us. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
You turn into ESPN, and there it is. I'm like, goodness gracious, turn this off. And I just, you know what I do? Turn off the TV. I go turn into 1140.
And all those awful, awful fans.
You know what?
First
First things first. Moving on.
Oh, Booker's ready to play.
Next up, not done with the ace. Not on the field, though, Doug. Today was, I thought, going to be a big day, and today has actually left me more confused.
Perplexed?
Yeah, because there was some optimism. The council in Oakland met, gathered, voted, ultimately, and the vote comes out encouragingly to me for the A's in the future in Oakland or down at Jack London Square. Yeah. But the A's, Dave Cavill, that group, did not like what was voted on and apparently wasn't what the A's thought they were voting on. So I don't know what's been negotiated over the last couple of days. I know every side has said, oh, we've been in good faith. We're negotiating on both sides. And so you basically have a yes vote from the city council. The A's not liking what they voted on, saying, we just saw these terms today. This isn't exactly what we're looking for. What is happening here? That's why I'm more confused. It's a mess.
So you're confused. I could be wrong. But what I'm going to do right here is I'm going to give you my opinion.
Okay.
So since I've been here, this has been a topic of conversation. Not been here meaning like all the way back when I played, but since I came back and been on the radio, this has been a topic of conversation, right? So you had all that time to kind of put your offer out. Well, the city didn't put theirs out, really. They kind of talked about Jack London Square, all these different things. The A's can't finally do. Then the city comes back with what they come back with, and now we're in this blow-up. But what really happened was Cavill went to Vegas. And he saw what was happening.
He saw the neighbor's house.
Yep. And he said, man, everything that goes to Vegas stays in Vegas.
And if it's not Vegas, it could be Portland. It could be Charlotte, like Sacramento, whatever. I'm just saying, Andy, there are cities that would covet the team. Here's what Rob Manfred said today on the Oakland City Council vote. Quote, we are disappointed the city council chose to vote on a proposal to which the A's had not agreed. We will immediately begin conversations with the A's to chart a path forward for the club. Now, that doesn't tell you exactly what that path means, but of course Rob Manfred's going to be on the side of the organization and the A's. He's not going to be on the side of the city council, so I don't know what to read into that if just that's his quote. But where are we? I mean, this has been 10, 15, 20 years of working on this, and this was a day, to me, kind of imposed by the A's in Major League Baseball. July 20th, July 20th, July 20th. Well, you're voting on something that baseball and the A's didn't agree. So How do we get here?
So let's look at it this way. Could this be a positive that finally one time we hear from Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball, and this is the most movement that we've had in all these years? Is that something like, okay, since baseball is involved, we've got some movement. We've got some traction. Things are starting to move around, regardless if it's kind of what you want or what you don't want, because as we know, in negotiations, it doesn't necessarily go smooth. They've put out something in the A's, and it kind of seems like this is what we want, do it our way. And the city kind of said, this is what we can do. And they're saying, well, that's not what we –
not on the same page.
Exactly. Not even same paragraph, sentence, word, nothing. So
– yeah, the only encouraging part to me is the yes that you hear. That, like, it wasn't no today.
Right, it was yes.
But the yes is on something that the A's don't want. And if the A's don't want it, to me, I think they're seeing the shiny object in another
so
city.
So you answer this question for me. So if the A's are there, and Oakland City Council is here, that leaves Major League Baseball in the middle.
They're with the A's.
And my point is, could this be the opportunity for the A's to save face maybe? Because, look, Major League Baseball said, we got to go, so we're going to go.
In the end, I don't know saving face. Well, I don't know what the fan perception is. I think a lot of it's still going to fall back on Oakland.
Well, ownership, meaning like, what was my man's name who owned the Colts and they left it, or the Bills? Yeah. I mean,
overnight.
Brown, was it the Browns?
Modell?
Yeah.
Art Modell.
Okay, but it was him.
Yeah.
Like the name. This one is kind of the A's, but now since you got Major League Baseball in there, it's kind of like maybe Major League Baseball can say, okay, well, we're going to come in and resolve this even though we're on the side of the A's, which leaves the city out again, as you saw. Golden State leave. We watched the Raiders leave now. This is kind of a thing, I think. unfortunately, for your fans, for your diehard people who would really love to see a new stadium, some money influxed into the A's by ownership because you see you got a farm system, you see you can produce players, but you keep on letting them go because you don't want to pay anybody, and now you want the city to foot a lot of this bill. And, yeah, I think you've officially come to a standoff, but both sides have said it. Before, it was kind of ambiguous.
And both sides, I think, are trying. So that was kind of the A's perception. That was Rob Manfred's perception. At least for accuracy here, this was a quote earlier today, Doug, from Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff saying, quote, "We are very close in full agreement with the Oakland A's." That didn't sound like it from the A's perspective. So, you know, they're going to put their best face forward. They're going to try to put that pressure on the A's, right, the city council, while the A's are going to put the pressure on the city council.
How could she say that?
I don't know. I mean,
that's like when Chris says, "Me and Doug agree."
Right.
Maybe she's coming. See, if I could get them to say yes. Here's the problem that I have with what you said earlier, Jason, of this being like 10 to 15 years in the making, which it hasn't. Oakland wanted to move to Fremont, and then MLB is like, "Oh, no." Then they wanted to move to San Jose. MLB says absolutely not.
Right.
That's the San Francisco Giants territory, which we gave them, which we asked you to give to them so that they would stay in San Francisco and move instead of moving to Tampa.
So this is 30 years in the making.
So Yeah. Which MLB was just like, no, we already gave that to the Giants, which is like, well, what does that have to do with us?
Right.
Type of thing. Now, it wasn't until lately when everything left and then the whole thing came rooted in Oakland. A's are Oakland's team. Because everyone's leaving, but we're here to stay. And then the A's said, like, okay, this is what we want. What are you going to do for us, Oakland? So now that's where I think this isn't like years. This has been more like months in the making.
I just meant from the beginning of
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But this idea of, like, why haven't they done it? When has the A's never talked? How long were the A's talking to stay in the city? We want a new stadium in the city. That's been very recent.
I don't know where this goes. Baseball is going to definitely side with the A's.
Yes.
And I don't know what that ultimately means.
The only way I don't see that happens is if Oakland gives them such a good deal that it would be impossible to say that it's not a good deal.
Not from the videos that you showed me earlier. That is going to be a negative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if MLB believes that the A's aren't working in good faith.
I would say that would be the case if they believe it's such a good deal and they don't have enough. You're as good as your options, right? If Vegas is really going to put up a stadium or Portland or some other location and basically build it for them.
Well, then also,
it doesn't even matter if Oakland's working in good faith.
Now that I'm just thinking about this, just spitballing why people would be against this. If I'm the owner of the Dodgers and the Angels, I don't want the A's going to Vegas. Not only that, they're going to be a small market team again, and then we have to give them revenue sharing on top of that, and they're taking away from our fan base.
But the A's ownership is going, we get that money again.
I understand 100% why the A's would want to go
and
there.
And someone will build a place for us.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to build me a house, and you're going to pay me to live in the house?
And the Diamondbacks, all in that same area?
Yeah.
Come on.
We shall see. This I thought we'd get more, not finality today, but it's...
But no, that was never coming, because you still need the county to sign
off. But I mean, I thought we might get a firm no, like this, they're doomed, but we got a yes, but it wasn't a yes on what the A's thought they were voting on. And that's where, to me, it gets cloudy. Unless the A's are playing...
So how would we not know what we're voting on? Didn't we agree what we're voting on?
That's my point. So now the A's come up, well, this isn't what we suggested. You guys, this was term sheet that this is not what we agreed upon. What were you guys negotiating over the last 36 hours?
Chris's example was if we were making a trade and I said a trade to you, then you sent me back something that didn't involve any of the players that I...
And we agreed.
No, we didn't. Yeah. It's a thing.
It's a thing. All right, okay. More first things first.
First things first.
First things first.
Gonsolin to the plate. And Posey rips one down the left field line, headed to the corner. It is gone! Up over the left field wall. Welcome back, Buster Posey.
That's from the Giants radio network. And last night, Giants and Dodgers, Buster Posey's first game back. He homers, Flores goes back-to-back after that. Giants end up winning 7-2 and a good start winning game one of the four-game set.
No doubt.
Game two tonight.
Put the Dodgers on notice, man. They're making my prediction look bad right out the gate, man. Giants.
Now just get one more. I mean, you get greedy. You want more than that, but if you at a minimum get one more, you're good. You just chew up some games. You stay ahead of them, and you beat them 2 out of 4 in their park.
I think that's what Alex Rodriguez was talking about with the Yankees. He was like, listen, you can look at this what they've done so far, or for the rest of the season, you try to win 2 out of 3 every time. And if you do that, at the end, you'll be
– keep racking them up.
You keep racking them up.
Yep.
And I'll be good dogged if they didn't win 2 out of 3.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I don't care about those teams. Don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move
nothing.
On.
First things first.
Game six tonight. Woo! NBA Finals season could end tonight, or we go back to Phoenix for a seventh and deciding game. Let's hear from Coach Bud.
We always talk about their resiliency, their character. Both teams, if you've made it to this point, you've got a ton of resiliency, a ton of character, and they've shown it really from day one, and we need a lot of it going forward.
So Milwaukee's won 3 in a row to put themselves in this spot. Everybody that we've talked about, and again, if you have not seen the images of the amount of people that are outside the arena, that is a place that wants to have a party tonight. They want to have a parade in a few days. So there is some extra pressure on Milwaukee, obviously, to end it. Can they go to Phoenix and win in Game 7? Sure, but now you flipped it and you would have lost the game on your court. Anxious to see Phoenix. They were only down in the playoffs 2-1 to the Lakers. And then AD got hurt, and they've cruised since then. They've dictated the terms of just about every series. I want to see how they respond. Monty always says the right things. They've got players that have that character. And especially when, Doug, the series has been this close.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to predict. I mean, I can honestly see any example here. I really can see anything happening tonight and even going 7 and either team winning there. It's that even.
Yeah, I would agree with you. We'll make our predictions, but this is it's a close series. Been a close series. Yep. I can see it going 7, but I can also see a Bucks team, because there's two things. I use the term waxing and waning. And the Phoenix Suns, they start off strong and they were kind of waning. And the Bucks, on the other hand, started off slow and they're kind of waxing. They are moving in a direction that they are building, playing some of their best basketball. The last game, all three. Now, it still came down to a one possession game, but their three main guys in Middleton, Drew Holiday, and Giannis played really good basketball. If they do that here, I think that they're probably able to get out. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of emotion. And from somebody who's played in these type of closeout games, it can do one of two things. And experience can really help you in these, is being able to breathe and being like, I could see Giannis hyperventilating and like, yeah, you know, like, oh my God, like sit down. It's going to be so much emotion. It can go for you or it can go against you. Not the crowd going against you, meaning that you lose the crowd because the other team takes them away.
Yeah.
And where do you go then? This is this will tell you a lot about both of these teams, and I'm excited. This is, I think, what we could all ask for in a series who, not yet, doesn't have a team in the dog in the fight.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if I'm looking at past experience just in this postseason, one area where if I was a Suns fan, I'd go, okay, can I parallel this when – remember when Chris Paul, they were up 3-1 on the Clippers, and he's like, oh, I don't want to talk about that 3-1.
Yeah, yeah.
They came home and they lost game 5.
Yeah.
I thought, oh man, this might go 7. And then they went to LA and he had that quarter in that build. It's like he exercised all the demons. It's like, I want to win this. I'm going to win it in LA and I'm going to be the difference. And he had what, like 20 something in the third, and he broke open the game.
Yeah. 41 for the game, I think.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
And I think he's been the one that's probably been targeted the most. He's the one I'm watching tonight. It's kind of like after Booker had the one game, like, oh, this is his response game, and he's been great since. I know Holiday's been great. And Chris Paul's a legendary player. I think this is a game he's going to have to channel whatever the best version of him is.
And I'm going to say if that's what has to happen, that's not going to happen.
Because of Holiday?
Yeah. I think I look at Holiday with that type of reverence. I think that he is an absolute stud. He doesn't get as much credit as he should get. Not to mention, I've also been involved in games where the others get involved.
Yeah.
Like the three others.
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
Was it 0-12?
Scott Foster, yes. When Scott Foster,
I didn't say it, you did.
I did. And it was brought up very quickly this morning when it was announced that he was a Game 6.
Yeah, it was. Like, what time was that you texted me?
I hit you up early this morning.
Man, I was up. I was like, Jason, already? He's usually.
Did you like the GIF?
He doesn't. That was pretty good.
I knew you would.
He's 6:28. Wow. Look at you. I was really impressed with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not usually up then.
No, I'm not.
Okay. You got up for Scott Foster, huh?
No, J-Man, for whatever reason, he was up early this morning.
Oh, was he?
He needed to go to bed a little earlier tonight.
He was taking photos.
Yeah, I mean, that's a stat that's going to be put out there, right? I don't want to believe it's a factor, but it's out there for a reason. He's 0-12 with Scott Chris Paul, I'm speaking of, is 0-12 when Scott Foster has officiated his playoff games.
I would say now it's in your head, but
yeah.
Is there something there? It is a thing. One thing I'll say about Scott Foster, and this is part of what I used to say about James Harden, why I thought he always struggled in the playoffs, is because he tries to play regular season basketball in the playoffs, meaning he's trying to draw those ticky-tack bullcrap fouls. He gets to the free throw line, and that's what he does in the regular season. They call him. It's frustrating. In the playoffs, they don't allow that. Scott Foster doesn't necessarily fall for all of Chris Paul's antics, all the flopping and throwing around and all that stuff. He's like, play on. And Chris then gets upset and what have you. Like, is that the reason? No. But even the foul with Giannis Antetokounmpo and who was that? When he came across the lane and he bumped him and Scott Foster called the foul. Crowder. You know the one I'm talking about? And everyone's like, that is an offensive foul on Giannis. When I look at it, I'm like, no, because if you watch Crowder's arm, he puts his arm under and he pulls him down as he's falling down.
Right.
Like, it's not as clear cut. Like, okay, you show it 90 times and you keep saying that, people start to believe it. I'm not falling for that. Mm. This is going to be an exercise in the demons game for Chris Paul.
Needs to be.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll see it happen. See if there's a sixth game or seventh game or if Milwaukee is celebrating on their home floor.
Boop, boop.
First things first.
Close things first.
The Kings, and Dame Lillard with a question mark.
What, we were running the draft back?
No, we're not doing that. That draft's a week from Thursday. We'll have our player profile today of Franz Wagner. But there was reports today about multiple teams interested in Dame Lillard, which all 30 teams, all 29 others should be. But they said, the quote was, the most aggressive teams like the Heat, the Knicks, Sixers, like you'd expect. And the Kings were kind of an outlier there. One of your theories, I think, is a good one that, well, yeah, they should be interested, but maybe they're also interested in just, you can't just normally just acquire Dame Lillard and a one for three.
No, or it doesn't
go
like
might need
that.
Multiple teams, so maybe the Kings are, yeah, we want him. We probably can't make it work because we don't want to get rid of these other guys, but we'll be that other team if you need us.
I think that that's how you get involved that way, by putting your name in the hat. All of a sudden, okay, we don't have the necessarily resources to make that happen, but we could be a team that is third in that, and we'll move somebody around. You guys get what you're doing, but this is really what we wanted all along, is to bolster our team. Are you with this?
Well, of course I would love Dame Lillard on the Kings, but again, now you got to do this realistically. If I'm Portland, and somehow it's just Portland and the Kings, it's non-negotiable. If it's not Fox and or Halliburton, then I'm not as
– for me,
Dame Lillard's better right now, but I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, unless you already had it stacked where you're bringing Dame in and you're going to get a boatload of veterans and all these different things that is going to make him relatively competitive right away, you're kind of flipping Portland for Portland, because he's the main piece and you don't really have much around him, because you're going to have to trade away pieces. And those
Portland.
Two young pieces, I'm personally, I'm not doing that. And whatever, people say whatever. But you, by being the third team involved, now you may have the ability to get yourself the type of player. And I think also, like, shouts out to Monty, because put your name in the hat, player.
Yeah.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah. Like, and maybe they're not involved, but at least people know they're intrigued or interested.
And when you pick up the phone, I'm involved. Those two? No.
No.
Okay.
And you're willing to move? Let's start this conversation.
Yeah, maybe we can work over here, but leave my people alone.
Yep.
But I'm in. I'm a player.
Yeah.
Holla at me.
Call me anytime.
I think that that is, in this game, meaning the NBA, in general managerism, you must do your due diligence. And just by being involved, all the people are going to say whatever they're going to say. But, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
Depending on what you want.
Yeah. All right, a couple more first things first.
First things first.
Look, we've spent an NBA postseason, Doug, talking about key injuries, and I hate injuries in sports. This one, how about before a season even starts?
Oh, man.
Rams running back Cam Akers, who they loved and they had big expectations for, is clearly going to be the kind of their number one guy. Achilles tear.
Are we seeing more of this than ever?
Yeah, and I think it was obviously it was a workout. It's like, oh man,
I just don't remember seeing this many like Achilles tear. Like maybe it's just reported more. Like when I was coming up and watching sports, and like wow, when you said that to me, I was like, well, first of all, that's unfortunate. Can they find somebody else? Yeah, but they were really excited about Cam Akers.
Yeah,
and I. Like they were.
Yeah, now you had free agent market.
Yeah,
I mean, unless there's a name that becomes someone in their organization.
I don't know. I mean, never want to see anyone get injured, but they are in the NFC West.
Yeah.
What's that? That was a bad laugh. Right. Well, I didn't mean it that way.
What do you what do you think of this last one here?
First things first. First things
first. We've also spent a lot of time talking about Aaron Rodgers. What's his future? Where will he go? Well, apparently. He has turned down a deal to become the highest-paid quarterback, a two-year offer from the Packers. So
it's bigger than money, Jason.
That's what some had suggested, and it certainly believes to be that true, or that believes to be true.
Put some respect on my name, man.
They were by throwing some cash money.
That's not respect. He has some issues with the people, and that's not going to get resolved. He's like it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
You guys haven't done right by me.
He knows
I want
it.
Out.
He feels it.
Is he there? Does he start the season off in green and gold?
I think so. They have an ability to move him. Can they do it? Can they pull that off? Can they execute it?
I think he goes straight stubborn. He must be a Taurus like me.
Me too.
Yeah, I can be stubborn.
You can.
I hope you guys saw that on YouTube. I was like, I'm not talking.
We'll see. Yeah, I think that's such a tough one because ultimately I think he does want to play. I don't think he's not happy with that organization.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to play, which is a great luxury to be in.
Their relationship is in jeopardy.
He's Doug Christie. I'm Jason Ross. 5 o'clock hour is next.
We'll be here all out.
Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Here we go, 5 o'clock hour, 1 hour from the start of the NBA Finals, Game 6. End tonight, or do we get a seventh game, which is Thursday, back in Phoenix? So we shall see how that goes. Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining, located inside at 411 North 16th Street.
What you eating on?
Downtown Sacramento. Tonight?
Oh, you said dining.
Oh, there? I don't know, probably whatever goodies they have.
Well, I'm saying when you go. You get a tuna fish sandwich or something?
Yeah. Wouldn't be my first choice.
You get pickles on your tuna fish?
Not pickles. I've had relish.
In it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet?
Yes.
Attaboy. Miracle Whip or
mayonnaise.
Or mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Oh, God.
You like the Subway tuna fish sandwich, right?
I did.
You did? What changed?
It's not tuna, apparently.
Oh, really?
Some say it's too much tuna.
I'm not understanding.
Not either, but he winked.
Too much tuna.
Too much tuna? It's not tuna?
I don't know. I thought there was some report about that.
What is it like?
They tested the DNA of the tuna, and they said there is no tuna in here.
A shark or perch or
they don't know
crappie.
It's not being consumed by me anymore.
Sturgeon?
I don't know.
Why is sturgeon tickle Jay? I don't.
That's a bottom feeding fish. Oh,
have you ever seen a sturgeon?
I have.
You ever seen how their mouth comes out?
Yeah, they're massive.
So they have. We used to catch them. They don't have bones,
right?
Cartilage. So if you cut around the tail, and after you cut the head off, and then you pull out this long thing, it's like it's gelatinous.
Okay.
But this fish was like 6.5 feet. I jump roped with it. I'm just telling you.
With a sturgeon.
With the sturgeon
spice. Gelatinous.
Spinal?
Spine.
Spinal? Man. Yeah. Smoked canned sturgeon? Doesn't get any better, baby.
With
it
does.
With a Ritz cracker?
Okay.
Oh, stop it.
You stop
it. Hey, Dad, if you're listening, send your boy a jar. Appreciate you.
He'll appreciate it.
I sure would. That sounds about right now. That's why I said it as well.
All right, it is time for Five On It.
On It!
Ba-boom, boom.
No, that's not it.
Ba-boom, boom.
No, that's not it either.
How about this? Ba-boom, boom.
That's why.
How about take two?
Four?
Five on it.
Time for Five On It.
I got five on it. I got five. Boom. A look at the top five at five. A spin around the nation to hear five stories. Five people, five opinions. This is I Got Five On It.
All right, today we're going to hit you with a bunch of sound bites that we will react to. Lots of different topics, including Dame. We'll hear from Go Hawks, Russell Wilson.
Hey.
Also, Dave Cavill on the latest in the Howard Terminal. All that and much more. But let's start you out with some football here in the New England Patriots. Byron Cowart of the New England Patriots talking about Tom Brady.
Like I said, he's done a lot of things for this organization. He's coming back, but when he come back as an opponent, so I'm going to treat him like any opponent.
Hey, Aiden, let the people know what's going on week four.
The Patriots are welcoming back Tom Brady. What is it, Tom Patrick Brady?
Well, we ain't welcoming him back. We just got to play him. We just got to play. It ain't going to be no damn ceremony for him or nothing like that. They might clap for him, but it's not going to be no, bro, this is our opponent. Bro, y'all know, bro, what? Hey, bro, we like to win, but.
I don't know if that's done in football. Like, that's very much a return to an NBA team, tribute video. Thank you, Tom, all these wonderful years. They have to do that in New England, don't they? The players, I get that. You don't have to welcome them back. You want to beat them.
It's interesting. This is actually really interesting because Bill Belichick does not strike me as a person that's going to okay a whole bunch of
feel good for Tom
right now. Now, listen, when Tom retires and they have his day.
Let's have Tom Brady day.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay. Tom Brady drive outside, and Bill Belichick crosses that in his Bill Belichick way. Okay. But on this particular, I could see them not doing it.
That's fine.
I could see the fans cheering and all that.
Yeah, you can't control that.
His Cowart's comments are spot on. You're right.
Oh, as a player, I totally.
You got to get at him.
Yeah, you want to beat him, you want to crush him.
Don't go out there with reverence and all that. Right. You're going to get smacked is what's going to happen. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know because ownership loves him to the point where they went against each other, Belichick and ownership, about trading Tom Brady, and he kind of nixed the trade. I could see them maybe doing something before everybody got out there, maybe, but I don't know. I'll be tuned in, though.
Mm-hmm.
You damn Skippy.
For sure. All right, next topic here. Aaron Rodgers. Let's hear from former USC quarterback and Fox Sports analyst Mark Sanchez talking about the options right now for a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
As the head coach, I wouldn't want to have to touch that with a 10-foot ball. I mean, that is just the weirdest situation going into training camp, because during training camp, especially if you're going to start grooming this young quarterback in Jordan Love, you have to start putting him in positions to be successful in team meetings and on the field, right? Like, you show highlights on purpose to like energize the guys, to remind them like, hey, this is our guy. So are you going to start doing that with Aaron kind of floating out there? Like, how do you How do you even go about that situation? I'm not envious of his position. The other thing, when you look at Rodgers, I mean, he's got options now. And if I'm a detective working this case, you know, is he going back? Is he, you know, going to hold out? I'm just looking at facts, things that I can connect some dots on. Dave Dunn, same agent for Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer sat out of Cincy. Carson Palmer made a lot of money before he decided to sit out for Cincy. Carson Palmer had other options.
You know, what's interesting is how many options does he have, really? I mean, he could not play or play. And I think Green Bay tried to clear this up by giving him that big deal. He said no, he has every right to do that. But like to Mark Sanchez's point, you can't really be wishy-washy on his Aaron coming. We really want to groom Love. Like, they got to get a commitment somewhere from him or the team.
That's where Aaron kind of holds the cards. Like, if he's really willing, and this is usually with it, most athletes, we've only seen it done in a rare amount of times where athletes like, look, okay, I'm gonna sit out. Actually, when I was drafted, I was like, okay, it's a wrap. They really hadn't seen that. Jimmy Jackson did the same thing, but he actually went back a lot sooner. I was going to go ahead and take the long ride, boss. Well, if Aaron decides to do that, it's not because he's got plenty of money. He's okay there. Actually, he could get another job. It's just he's in his absolute prime, maybe even on the backside of it. But, like, we've seen what Tom Brady can do. So his arm has not lost any velocity, touch, all those type of things. He could just be like, nah, I'm not. I don't know if he's built like that and he's willing to do that.
If he gets to that point, truly, and they know it, you got to trade him. You need something in return, because what's going to win him back? Are you calling his bluff?
So tell me this. If he sits out, does he become a free agent after this year? Or do they still, I don't want to say own, have his rights until his contract expires?
I believe so, but I don't think that.
So how long is that?
Yeah, I don't think it had that much more time. I think that's what they're willing to offer that new.
So they were, if I'm not mistaken, I saw 5 years, meaning that 2 years was added on. So he still has 3 years left?
Or maybe two more, yeah.
Okay,
maybe.
Well, whatever. My point is, if he has to stay, like, if they have his rights, then in essence he's saying, I quit playing football. That's probably what they're definitely banking on. They saved the bread.
Yeah.
But
they clearly don't believe, because I think they would have already traded him if they truly believed in Jordan Love.
What do you think the fan base, which is ownership, right?
They're going to be mad at the ownership, not at Rodgers.
No. I mean, the fan base is the ownership.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So what do you think the pulse is of your fan base in Green Bay right now on this particular topic? Are they more for ownership or are they more for Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
That would be my guess, yeah.
Okay.
That's who they go to watch. No one goes.
Okay. Another question. So Aaron Rodgers goes to the game tonight in Milwaukee, and he's sitting courtside. They show him on the screen.
Oh, Mad Love.
Mad Love?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea. So yeah.
That's my bet.
Okay.
I guess.
I hope he's there. I mean, he gets a ring if they get a ring.
He does.
He's ownership. You didn't know that?
I did.
Come on, man.
Then show up. Be there.
I think he'll be in the house.
All right, let's go to our next topic here. Your quarterback, Russell Wilson.
Attaboy.
Of the Seattle Seahawks.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Well, here's what he'll say. Let's see what he has to say about wanting to win.
I think more than anything else, you know what I care about? I care about winning. You know, that's what I want to do. That's why I dress, put my cleats on every day and that's always been my focus. That's always been my goal. You know, it's to win it all and to continue to do that and try to do everything we can.
That's why he puts his cleats on, because he wants to win.
Russ, I'm still, because he's my quarterback. Look, Russ lost me on some stuff, man. He lost me a little bit.
His play, what does he have you with? And that's a big deal. That's it, right?
He's with his play. He's good. But when I hear him talk, I'd be like,
Hey, that's why he plays.
No.
Puts his cleats on.
That is not why you play. That's part of the reason why you play. Okay. Say that. But like the whole
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. You know, I'm with you, D.
prior to this, and this is going to sound the worst, because as a 49er
so
fan,
I just sounded that bad?
No, no.
Oh, okay. I'm not supposed to, I couldn't hear myself.
I'm not supposed to like anything about the Seattle Seahawks. I actually enjoyed Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He, this offseason, if I was a endorser of his, I would be worried. And I know he's still going to get paid. He has the, you know, the Scott.
Worried by what?
Because I think he's losing people the more and more. It's, and look, our parents always say, at least my mom always say, you tell a lie, you got to tell a lie to cover that up. And once you come to tell that lie, you have to tell another lie to cover the next lie. You know, and
I'm good at that.
Yeah, without a boy. To me, it started off as, I think Russell pushed the envelope to the point to let Seattle ownership and the city and people who, like, look, I am the team. I think he wanted to be wanted. And it's kind of come off in the fact, like, it's almost kind of.
Hey, man, it was 1st and 3, bruh.
Yeah.
How much more you bought? Get a ball to this man.
Well, he's brought a Super Bowl there, so he'll forever
be. Legion of Boom brought the Super Bowl.
He's part of it.
No, I don't mean it like that, but let Russ cook and all that type of stuff, kind of, it's like it's all about him, and it's not. It's a team game, and when I hear him, I just kind of hear that, and maybe I'm just skewed a little bit.
What he accomplished in this PR team or trying to accomplish, I think it's backfired a little bit. Like, it's almost to the point where he's almost standoffish. It's almost to the point where it's like, I really don't believe what you're saying. So
that's my point. Yeah, like, that's exactly it.
You're on some Willie, and Chris made a lie to this a couple days ago. You kind of on some foo-foo stuff. Like, no, man, just go out and play ball. You know, like, to me, something about what he's been doing this summer is kind of almost like throwing a hissy fit and wanting to be seen, wanting to be wanted.
Yes.
And it's backfired to me.
I would also say this. Like, for him right now, the best thing would just be
quiet.
Don't say anything and go out and ball out. Because what can't happen right now, let me tell you what can happen. Is my team come out the gate like 0-3,
like
1-4.
Oh,
like, let me tell you.
Oh, they're on.
Okay.
Yeah. And for good reason, because you've been crying all summer.
Yes.
Yeah. Saying anything.
I don't know. He's my quarterback. I'm a fan. He ain't lost me totally. But when I hear him talk, I don't want to hear you talk. Maybe that's it right now.
Just play. Put up numbers.
You know, don't talk about it. Be about it. Thank you, Nas.
All right. Let's go next topic here. Dame Lillard. Does he want to be in Portland? Does he want to stay in Portland? Here's his teammate, Enes Kanter.
I played with Dame, you know, 2 years ago. He is the most loyal player I have ever seen. And every time I go to a basketball camp, kids are always asking if Dame is going to leave. I don't think so. But the one thing, he wants to bring a championship to Portland.
I totally agree with that. I think, again, we get back to perfect world situations, Doug. I think that's what Dame would want. I think he would love that. If he could be on a team that won a championship there in Portland, he would be a big reason why. He's already a legend there. He would firm that status in that city. But then I think you also watch this. He sees the playoffs. He sees his team come up short. And as much as he said publicly, I'm loyal, I want to stay with this team, probably it's burning and hurting him. It's seeing like, hey, man, I haven't been in the finals. I see how other teams are built. People will covet me. Maybe I do go somewhere else and I have a real legitimate chance to win one.
I think that you said something right there. I see how other teams are built. I think he has to look at front office. Terry Stotts has been the coach that whole time. Now you finally got rid of Terry and see, like, there are other things, but you're 9 years in. Like, this is for him. You made it to the Western Conference Finals, but you ran into an absolute juggernaut. You weren't going to do it. They have not built the team. The best iteration of that team was when they had defensive wing. Mo Harkless was on that team. Mm-hmm. They had defensive wings, Al-Farouq Aminu, and then they got rid of it and like tried to, I don't know what they were doing, and you just kind of wasted a couple, like those big shots against OKC and all that. Like, if you build that team properly, he is a dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. And now you put yourself in a position where, as loyal as Dame has been, now I can listen to Dame talk, because when Dame talks, he actually says something. He's like, this is where I want to be. I'm trying to do it here. But now they have not done right by him, and I could really see him leaving.
Yeah. We shall see there on that one. All right, last topic here, DC, is what we talked earlier about the A's and getting a yes vote today, but then the A's and Dave Cavill not too happy with actually what the terms were from the Oakland City Council compared to what the A's thought they were. Here's a sound from a little bit earlier on Dave Cavill talking about the building living spaces for the Howard Terminal area.
25,000 people already live there within 1 mile of Howard Terminal. So how do you think those people feel? So I think one thing that our project is going to bring is we're going to clean up the waterfront, and we're going to ensure that the people who are living near the port, who have long been kind of like, you know, cast aside, can have a better living arrangement. And the businesses, including our business, we're headquartered right there at Jack London Square, that it's a safer and better location. And environmental justice is a huge part of our program. And we've already won one lawsuit against, you know, Schnitzer Steel, who's, you know, obviously a big industrial concern down there. And we think it's really, really important that, you know, that area has strong environmental stewardship, and our project will bring that in space.
So, again, standstill continues, maybe some different things presented by the city council than what the A's expected. And I don't know if any progress was made at all today.
Progress to get out of there.
Maybe.
I think maybe the only progress. Like, some of the videos that I saw a city council member, Cavill, kind of talking, and they are just, they ain't even close. Like, I don't even know that the book is the same. They ain't in the same book. Forget Paige.
Yeah.
And that is the one good thing. And I like Jay, because as an A's fan, finally, Commissioner Manfred gets involved. This is the most movement we've had since I've been on radio, because this thing has not moved. A's finally put something out. City comes back with something else, and it kind of seems like it's all stemmed off of Major League Baseball getting involved. So if that's the case, Major League Baseball is pretty much saying, like, something's got to give here. So I think something will give. It just might not go the A's way. I mean, Oakland's way. Let me say it that way.
Yeah, both sides are to blame. It's been... Jason, you spoke about, you know, 15, 20 years in the making. Chris brought it to the point of Oakland wasn't even the destination of where the A's really wanted to be at a point in time. Mm-hmm. And that's 100% correct. And again, I always throw it in there. Baseball bent over backwards for the Giants to allow them to stay in California. And the Giants are very clear of their boundaries and where they can flex their muscles. And believe me, they've flexed their muscles plenty of times where the A's can do. It's almost to the point now, and there's always hope. You know, anything can be saved. We've seen it here in Sacramento. But the ownership of the Oakland Athletics has been very, very poor in many areas when it comes to the ball club, when it comes to new stadium, when it comes to being out in the front of things. And I think now they're trying to be out in the front of things. And they brought in, and let's not forget this, they brought in Dave Cavill, who was, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, he was from the San Jose Earthquakes.
Yeah.
And he had got that new arena done down.
Avia, whatever.
How you say it, Chris? Chris.
He ain't listening to it.
Yeah.
How do you say the San Jose Earthquakes stadium?
I think they just changed it to PayPal.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
See, they're already selling it.
Yeah.
But Cavill came from that, and that was kind of his background, and he was almost kind of like a savior, so to say, and at the same time, a spokesperson for the Oakland A's. And to me, as an Oakland A's fan, that's where I've been, and I'm trying to choose my words correctly, because obviously we're an Oakland A's affiliate, if not the biggest, that the Oakland Athletics ownership has missed the bus in many ways of being out in front of this. And there's also been a lot of bumbling situations from the city of Oakland, and both sides seem to not know what's going on. And they don't, well, not, I won't say not going on, but they both just seem not able to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
And at the Coliseum has been dilapidated for years. And this should have been done 2005 at this point. And we're in 2021, and we're still talking about the same things. And as we know, as time goes on, sometimes we always believe that time heals wounds. Sometimes it doesn't, though, because You have to take care of what you need to take care of to allow those things to be healed. And if we haven't crossed that bridge yet to say, okay, look, we put some finalization to this, then it's never going to heal. And that, to me, is where the city in Oakland has always gone wrong. There, as DC, you've said, it's taken them so long to even get the party started.
Right.
And now we're at the 12th hour. And now, you know, baseball is like, listen, man, this stadium is horrendous. And the pipes are bad. And now we've seen other people leave the city. And now you don't even want to use this land no more. And now Oakland is a different Oakland than 20 years ago.
And if your selling part is you got the earthquake stadium, the place is awful.
That's not going to do it.
The place is like, it's right by the airport. There's nothing around it. Half the parking lot is still just dirt.
It's
terrible team.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And both terrible sides team. Are to blame. San Jose
earthquakes.
Oh, yeah, earthquake. I thought you were talking about
the both of the sides are to blame, and it's always the toughest part because you only really point fingers at three or four culprits. Listen, John Fisher, point blank period, is not a top 15, top 20 owner in the league. And if we take some flack for that, Jason, as a program director, please direct that to me.
Mm-hmm.
He is not. He is not. And baseball needs to realize that and understand that he can't get it done. Hence, that's why they called in Dave Cavill. Dave Cavill is trying, and he's kind of the guy in the middle, and he's the spokesperson. So Sure. Everybody's going to – he took the heat for the Vegas thing. Right. I get it. It's not a great look. But this ain't on Dave Cavill. Dave Cavill ain't putting no money down on the floor. This ain't his money. He ain't no part of the ownership. It's John Fisher.
Right.
Get it together.
Yeah.
You just, and again, I'm not going to count your pockets because you have some money. But from all reports, you just earned another Billy. Not a million, a Billy. You mean to tell me you crying over this 450 units of apartments? If you really want something to be done, then you do it. Just like the city of Oakland. If you're crying about them bringing $450 million, which is not chump change by all means, but it's not coming from the taxpayers from the jump, then do it.
Right.
So I get you have to fight, and I get you have to argue, but the fact of the matter is we're going to squabble over two or three things because we should have did this 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem.
And that's why we're here today.
And that's where, yeah.
And who knows where we go forward at that point. I mean, this is... More on this, certainly, as the days and weeks go by, because nothing was truly resolved today. That is 5 on It. Still to come, we will have the crossover to wrap things up. We also have our KHDK daily over-under on our over-under on KHDK.com. But when we come back, our NBA draft profiles will continue. Today we look at Franz Wagner as a potential pick at 9. We'll do that when we come back here on KHDK. All right, back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie, A's Baseball earlier today. So we take you till 6, and we'll get the crossover coming up in our next segment. But let's continue our draft player profiles, DC. The draft is a week from Thursday. The Kings will be on the clock, as expected to be number 9, unless things change. They also pick 39, so we're over the next few days leading up to the draft. We're going to pick a player that could be in that range.
Player.
Yesterday we talked about 6'8". Point guard from Australia, Josh Giddey, could be before the Kings, could go at the Kings spot, could go after, but he's in that general range. Today we're going to look at Michigan sophomore who was elected to go pro, small forward, 6'8", 205, Franz Wagner.
Wagner.
Brother of Mo Wagner's in the NBA, both went to Michigan.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts when you think about our player profile of Franz Wagner? Strengths and weaknesses.
Well, I think as a wing player, now, could he be a better defender? Yeah, he probably could. I think that might be an area that he needs to improve upon. I like the fact that he'll grab a rebound, he'll bring it down the floor, he can stretch the floor and knock down shots. We were laughing, he looks to have a little wiggle, but I wouldn't call it wiggle, maybe waggle, maybe flutter.
Maybe voggle.
Voggle. he's got a little something to his game, but I can see improvement there. I like the size at 6'9", 220 pounds. There's athleticism. I've seen him go to the hoop and dunk it on somebody. So there's some things to like about him. He's got the gene, and I always thought that his brother actually Mo was he's a tough kid. Yeah. Like he would go at people. So that leans me to believe, like, if you're a little brother, he probably beat the hell out of you. So there's probably some toughness in Franz. So at the wing, the only thing that concerns me, all the rest of what I see with him, he's got enough that would lean me to believe that player development should be able to bring him along.
Yeah.
It's the quickness of foot on the defensive end. Can you guard your position on the defensive end? That would be the biggest thing. He's also been educated by Juwan Howard. Mm-hmm. So he's got that pro part of him that I think he's got some of that education from the Miami and all that Juwan has went through as well.
Yeah, I think, and I do like the fact, like you mentioned, his brother, that, you know, there's trade secrets, right, that you're going to get from other people when it's family, or maybe he's been in some of the better pickup games in the summer, played with a lot of pros.
Right.
Michigan's a good program. Juwan Howard, as you said there. Mm-hmm. You look at him and you go, he looks like some guys, he looks like an NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
But he looks like a rotation player, maybe a starter. I don't see a star, but that's to be determined, right? I mean, that's back to your point, Doug, player development. Does he get better? He's got a lot of the tools, though. He's good size. Mm-hmm. He can shoot. He can handle. He does a lot of the things. I don't know what I would say he's great at.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have to be defined today.
Right. He actually also looks to have a decent IQ.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen him pump fake, put it on the deck, slow
quick
down,
pass, yeah.
quick pass, draw some contact, draw a foul. Like, those things let me know that you're reading the game. So when you talk about tools, I would agree with you. Now it's taking his saw and sharpening it. Like, that's where the player development aspect. So first and foremost, do you have those? I'd like to see him in person. What do his shoulders look like? How big are his hands? Those type of things to actually see him. But as a player, it's there. Now, does he have the work ethic and the mindset? And psychologically, what's that conversation like? Those are all things that, you know, I would like to see.
Yeah.
But looking at him, I like what I see as a young player. I would say this. I didn't know that his brother went there. I tuned in to watch a game, and immediately he jumped off the screen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, who's that? And then Franz Wagner, and I went, Wagner, oh, wow, oh, you got a brother. Okay, now I'm looking, I'm like, oh, okay, you got a little something different than Mo got. So you're a little smaller, still 6'9", nice, but I'm watching him, like, pivot,
yeah.
pump fake, put it on the deck, go, he dunked on somebody. I was like, oh, okay, well, now I got him in the Rolodex in the head, so I'm looking, and I've liked what I saw. I like the progression that I saw, and I would say again, like, he has everything that you want in the NBA player to the level that he's going to be. A lot of it is going to be his determination and his work ethic, but also your player development, being able to bring it out of him.
A lot of times, too, I think the draft history suggests it's environmental as well. Where do you land? What situation do you
True.
Go to? Is the team
That's a good one.
Ready to accept you and help you grow? Or you put in a spot like, hey, took you in the lottery, go save us.
Right.
Well, those are two different things. He's a guy that I think will go in the lottery, but might be better off if he went a little bit outside of it to more of a playoff-type team that, no, you're going to help us. You're going to be an addition. You're going to be Cam Johnson.
Yes.
You're going to be a sixth man, seventh man, eighth man that we really value and help a good team, whereas if he goes to a non-lottery or a lottery team, they're not in the playoffs. Generally, they need a little more help. So his talent suggests he could be a lottery guy.
Yeah.
I think he might be better suited to go 15, 16, 17.
He doesn't obviously shoot the ball like Cam Johnson, but Cam Johnson is a good example of kind of a lot of the stuff that we talk about. I watched him in college. Then I watched some of his draft stuff, and it was this interesting one because it talked about his footwork and his ability to get the shot off. And it was like a pin down and then a fade to the corner three. And I watched it. I was like, clean footwork. But reason I say is Monty brought him along in a way that player development
yep.
took care of him. You have a weapon. You can use it here. This is how you apply it. He's done that. But this is how you're going to get on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need something on the other end of the floor. You're not going to be a lockdown defender, but you can't be a sieve, and you can't be the reason that things are messing up and I got to take you out. You do that, I get you some looks down here, and what we've seen is he's knocked them down.
Yeah.
I give a lot of credit to – he was a good player.
Mm-hmm.
They even took criticism for taking him at that pick. But the player development brought him along. And then not only develop him, Jason, but then give him the IQ and understanding of how to apply said skill to not the game, to our team. Success.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you kind of go past it. So for him, that would be, you're right. Kawhi Leonard doesn't go to the Spurs. He doesn't. Will he be a good player? Yeah. But he's not by.
That's perfect fit.
Perfect fit. Cam Johnson, perfect fit. Wagner, you got to make sure that you put him in a place where he can develop, has the time to develop, and finds a way to earn his way onto the floor.
Yeah, and again, on the Kings situation, they definitely should look at him at 9. I don't know if they'll do that, but I also think, are you drafting a guy to be behind Barnes? And, you know, maybe 9 isn't a starter, but could he be a guy that you feel comfortable in a year or two takes a spot? I don't know the answer. That's something they would have to know.
Yeah, and that's where, like, for me, I got to see him. Because, yeah. You know, if you got an eye, you'll be able to know, like, okay, I could see that. I actually like that recipe that you just gave of a guy like Barnes who is a quality starter, gives you the numbers, doesn't complain, does so many different things for the team, defense, rebound, and some nights he'll give you 20. Every once in a while he'll give you 30, not afraid to take the shot and take the criticism that comes with it, the professionalism. Like, that's a perfect guy for him to fall in behind. Like, grab his coattail, watch what he does. This is what we're expecting from you. Mm-hmm. That's for an organization like the Kings, it's a perfect fit. So maybe not him, but he is a candidate for that position, yes.
We'll see if the Kings target him or not, but that's our player profile today on Franz Wagner.
Wagner!
Before we break, Chris, our KHDK.com daily over-under. What do you have for us today, Chris, on that, as far as your – daily over under. Chris, what was your number today on the official KHDK.com spot?
Over under is 6.5 NBA Finals games.
Well, tonight's game 6. To get a 7th game, you have to have a Phoenix win. Hang on to that thought, DC.
Okay.
We'll answer it when we come back.
How do you know I had a thought?
You did.
Okay.
You did. We'll come back. We'll answer that. We have the crossover and much more to get to here in our final segment straight ahead here on KHDK. Back here on KHDK, final few moments. We've got the crossover coming up in just a moment. A couple of things I want to get to. I want to put this out there. This was horrific news I heard earlier today. And send best wishes and thoughts, prayers, all that kind of stuff to Greg Knapp. He's a Sac State former quarterback. He's in the Football Hall of Fame. He's been a longtime coordinator. He's been a head coach, I think, briefly as an interim, but coordinator now with the Jets. He's been all over. He was hitting he was in an accident. He was hitting on his bike. And he's in serious, serious condition.
A bike, like?
Bicycle.
Bicycle.
Yeah, and we've had that, like, Mark Eaton was just killed. Sean Bradley was paralyzed. Like, this stuff's happening too often.
Yeah, I like riding my bike, too.
Me too. I have been.
Slow my roll.
But I know it's not very,
a lot of prayers.
Looking very good right now. So hopefully things can turn. That's what we're hoping for. But you hate to see anybody go through that. But he's been on the station before. He's, at, like I said, Sac State Football Hall of Famer. But been all over the NFL for years and years and years and been a quarterback, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach.
Wow. Yeah.
And
sending
our best thoughts for him.
No doubt. Certainly. Well, on a local positive, that can be tragic, but positive at the same time. We're sending a lot of love. I watched the U.S. Olympic trials. I just loved that. I can't get enough. Local, I didn't even know it. And I looked up Haley Anderson, Granite Bay, California. Women's 400-meter freestyle. She ended up coming in fourth, 4:07.02. So shout out.
Okay.
Haley Anderson. I mean, you repping.
Absolutely.
She was repping. I was like, okay, I see you. Do your thing. I mean, Olympic trials, big time.
Yeah. Man.
Swimming, they had a lot of good stuff. Watch track and field yesterday as well.
Speaking of Olympics, did you guys happen to see what Mark Spears tweeted out?
No.
Come on, let it
so
fly.
He said, regardless of what happens tonight, U.S. basketball will have a private plane departing from U.S. to the Olympics in Japan for Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton departing on Friday, according to sources.
So hold on. So today is
Tuesday. So if it ends, they could get their parade in maybe Thursday or
Friday.
Maybe Friday.
So hold on. So if let's say it doesn't end.
Yeah. Then they play Thursday.
Then they play Thursday.
They're leaving the next day. They're not at a parade.
No. That's
not happening.
You can't do that, man.
That's what they're doing.
You can't do that. Yeah. I'm saying that. Everyone listens to the show. You watch. Or, you know what? We're going to fly our own plane. We'll meet you there on Sunday.
Well, that's what they're doing. Team's already gone.
Team's there.
No, but the team is paying for the plane. That plane's leaving on Friday.
What's the protocols?
The protocol is your boy just won an NBA championship, okay. And I'm about to turn up.
Okay, well.
I am getting a plane, and I'll see you there.
When's the first game for U.S. basketball?
That's not the point.
Okay. You're asking for things that aren't in anybody's control.
Yeah, well, we won't be there for game one.
You won't be there for game one? No. So there'll be seven players?
Well, whatever it's going to be,
they shouldn't be in it anyways.
I would pull out. If it meant that I couldn't go to my parade, if I'm one of those three, I'm out.
Your boy's at the parade. I'm just telling you.
That's why Milwaukee needs to win tonight, and then they can all, well, Booker wouldn't be at a parade, but.
If I'm the Suns or the Bucks, I'm telling them, hey, we wouldn't have a problem if you guys pulled out.
Yeah. That leads to our KHK Daily over-under. Over-under, 6.5 games, DC. That leads to your prediction tonight.
What you got?
Under.
Oh, you're saying it ends tonight, huh?
Yeah.
I've been going back and forth in this. I think I have to stay with
Wasn't that my prediction?
Yes, it was.
But I haven't said anything yet, so I haven't really – I was going back and forth in my brain, Chris, not –
I told you don't even pick right now because I know you're going to change it four or five times, and then we made fun of Russell Wilson afterwards.
Yes.
No, you made fun of Russell Wilson.
So?
I just said, I'm not feeling him. Yeah, it ends tonight. I'm going to stay with
him. Agreed. As much as I said Bucks on 7, not Suns.
Because I said Suns in 6, and I was thinking maybe I should stay with my prediction and go Suns. It'll be in 7. But
yeah, you still have the team, right?
But no.
Okay.
So Chris was incorrect.
Okay.
I didn't.
We'll see how that goes.
Yes, we will.
Let's squeeze in the crossover from the morning show.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's happening on the Carmichael Dave Show? Let's find out right now with the crossover. Do you believe it? Here's today's crossover.
Question for Jason and Doug and the rest of the crew. Hello. You'll remember last week with Space Jam coming out, we asked you, is Bugs Bunny and also are the Looney Tunes washed?
No, you just said Bugs
Bunny.
Let's
stay on that wavelength. With the Olympics possibly coming up, are the Olympics washed? Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, guys, are you as excited about the Olympics over the last couple as you used to be? Same, more, less. Have a great show.
Same. Love the Olympics. Have always loved the Olympics. In fact, last night, my wife had found this thing that was on, it was like 16 Days of Glory, and it was a long, like maybe 5 hours on the 84 Olympics. I was riveted.
Yeah, I bet.
And I'd seen it all and been at some of those events, not everything, but it's like.
You bragging right now? Is that a humble brag?
Yeah.
Okay.
But 100% into it, and I think it started from then, loving the Olympics, and then, and it kind of goes this way. We're like, the Olympics. And then the second it starts, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
with you. Olympics aren't washed. I'll even go a step further. I was at the house last night and this morning watching Olympic trials because I love it. That pureness of athlete and trying to rep your country and all the different things that go along with it. What I say, Carmichael Davis, shame on you. Shame.
I was just telling Jay, I am not interested in the Olympics at all this year.
But you'll watch.
I don't know. I am just so sick of the IOC and just this money grab and us and just wrapping it up in just national pride of you have to watch this because it's for your country. They're just trying to take all of our money. I'm not for that.
I'm not giving him any money. I'm watching.
They're getting money from the country.
Hmm. All right. On that note.
Is that how we're ending?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
That's like, where we cap it off.
Let me go first, DC.
Debbie Downer? Oh.
Well, we will be back tomorrow.
Catharsis Chris.
With our show starting at 3. Have a good rest of your night.
Yeah, have a really good.
Just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, enjoy yourself. Happy. Smile.
And we'll be back tomorrow right here on Cage to Get.
See you.